Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown! Aho Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Murray heaves it downfield. It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous!
Fires, Mike's it. Walker! Knocked down.
High cut! Oh! Unbelievable! Mike Thomas! Touchdown, Jags!
It was another great week of NFL action. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz kicking it around. Sirius Channel 159 for the next hour. A lot of news and notes to get to. Some dynamic performances in NFL week number 13. Washington football team, slipped there for a second. Did win their fourth straight back-to-back 17-15 victories Monday night over Seattle. They followed it up with a quality win on the road in Las Vegas. And how about the Miami Dolphins, George? Five straight wins. They get the 20-9 victory over Mike Glennon and the New York Giants. This team is trending in the AFC East. They're on the outside looking in for a potential playoff berth. We'll break down that game a little bit later. But the news of the day, break up Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. 7-point underdogs at home against Zimmer and the crew. They started fast and they close it out 29-27 over the Minnesota Vikings. They do pick up their first win of the season. They've been close in recent weeks. They finally knocked down that door and the Lions are hitting on all cylinders entering week number 14.
Lions hitting on all cylinders. Yeah, go Lions. Well, go Lions indeed.
Well, let me tell you this, Georgie. For four straight weeks, this team has been close. They've covered four straight. Right? Pittsburgh, Cleveland, then Thanksgiving night against Chicago. Now a cover and an outright money liner of plus 300 or 290, whatever they were at the start of yesterday's action from the gambling perspective. Yeah, they're hitting on all cylinders.
I'm not going to say that. I certainly wouldn't go that direction. They played some teams that aren't so good. And I think the best thing I can say about the Lions is that they do play. You know, we make fun of Campbell. I've made fun of him a lot, but he's got his players playing hard for him. And he certainly has that. They have not given up on the season. He's got them going, even though they're, 1-11-1, 1-10-1, whatever the record might be there. So good for him. And I guess good for them. Only thing is, I'm not so sure you want to win here. You know, now Jacksonville's right there, with Houston right there with you as far as that number one pick next year. If you were to pull out another game. And I guess I'll go with the negative here. Minnesota, what are you doing? What are you doing? And you want to make the playoffs here? You want to get back in this? And a win yesterday would have done that. Now, you're probably toast. I mean, you're in the ninth seed now in the NFC, 5-7. You're behind San Fran, behind Philadelphia, the Washington football team. These are all teams you got to now climb above to get into that playoff spot there. And I don't care if you lost Adam Thielen early on, by the way. There's no excuse to lose to Detroit. Especially when you still had Kirk Cousins throwing for well over 300 yards. You know, I think Jefferson is still catching passes there. So, I said, I've been watching the NHL today. A lot of firings in the NHL as far as head coaches. And Mike Zimmer, I think he's going to be the next guy to go in the NFL. I think he'll make the season, but I don't think he'll be there next season for Minnesota. I think they'll be looking for somebody else. Joe, to me, Minnesota is the team that just finds a way to lose football games.
Yeah, terrible. I agree with you 100%. And just think about how many close games this team has had, right? Up until last week where they were three-point road dogs against San Francisco, I think it was like 17 of the last 20 in terms of one-score games. And then last week, obviously, they don't win. They don't cover. They were in an opportunity to potentially tie that ball game up. Kirk Cousins can't close the door. And you can knock Kirk Cousins all you want, but at the end of the day, this team doesn't have the mental fortitude in terms of consistency. Consistency from week to week. You get a quality win and then you follow it up with a disappointing loss. I mean, I haven't seen a run of about 5 weeks or so where this team is dialed in. And forget Dalvin Cook. That's not the concern for the team. The concern is the defensive side of the ball, and that's supposed to be his forte, right? You're going up against a pathetic offense in Detroit. I mean, on Thanksgiving, Jared Goff had basically 65 yards passing, okay, on the first drive of the game when he hit Josh Reynolds. Against Chicago, entering the fourth quarter, you only had about, I think, 95. And you're telling me you allow him to throw for 296, three touchdowns, one interception? They convert a fourth down and two from the 8-yard line? Are you kidding me? Where is this team in terms of stepping up, wanting to make a statement? I mean, they're 5-6 heading into that ball game. You have a winnable game in front of you to get to 500. That falls on Zimmer. I would cut his ass right now.
I probably wouldn't do it. I don't know if there's a point to do it now. That's the problem. You know, that's the – and the firing a head coach, if you're not going to do it early on, at this point in the season with, what, four or five games left, installing a new office or a new defense or whatever the coach wants, it's going to be too much. So I don't think that's going to happen. Now, he is a defensive head coach, but we knew all season long coming in, defense was going to be a problem. He did lose most of his defensive line to different issues there between injury and I don't know what was going on with the mental health of Griffin there. The secondary was always weak, always going to be a problem. So he may be a defensive head coach, but they didn't have the players on defense to really get there. My problem was he just played too much towards the running. He played too much towards being an 80s and 90s coach. He didn't adapt to today's game.
Yeah, Vic Fangio's to blame as well. That disappointing loss in Kansas City. When we come back, we'll turn the page to tonight's action, Buffalo, New England, and week number 14. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, recapping NFL action week number 13. Have a big ball game later tonight in Buffalo. Buffalo opened up as a 3-point favorite against the red-hot New England Patriots and Mac Jones. Line down currently to about 2.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And want to back Buffalo there, minus 122. Total being hit right now, set at 41. Was up in the area of about 42.5, 43 at the start of last week. I mean, you know, I've been back and forth in terms of breaking down this game, George. You know, last year, Buffalo dominated both games, even though they were close. Still moved the football on that front seven in New England with Cam Newton at the helm. That was a different team. Now Mac Jones has stepped up. They're on a heater themselves, playing as good as any team in the AFC. But playing at home with the better quarterback and more experienced quarterback in Josh Allen, those weapons, I expect a big production performance out of Allen, but more importantly, Stephon Diggs. I think they win this ball game by double digits later tonight in Buffalo.
Well, it's certainly a big game, right? Game that we're all looking forward to. I guess it gives you a heads up on the AFC East. So these two teams are going to play again in a couple of weeks, so it's certainly not over here. I'm curious for both teams. One, had the Bills fixed their, I guess, midseason problems here with the offense, right? So we'll see if that's working well. Also, you know, Joe, how do they react without White? You know, they lost Tre'Davious White, their top cornerback, one of the top cornerbacks in the league. He's done with an ACL. So how do they react without him? Does Belichick and McDaniels go after that? Throw more passes maybe than they normally would here. And for New England, besides that, I wonder, okay, Matt Jones, this is a pressure game. Maybe your first true pressure game of the year. All right, Monday Night Football. Now, big game. Everybody's watching. Everybody will be watching this game. And now we'll find out what you can do on the big stage in an extremely important game. Right now, New England has the number one seed. They lose this game. You know, they go to the top four. They'll be in a wild card spot. So it's a huge game. And if they win this game, once again, they'll control their own destiny in the AFC East. Actually, in the entire AFC, they would control their own destiny here. So this is a monster game for New England. I'm looking forward to watching here. Like you, I'm not going to say a blowout. I'm not quite going to go there. But I do give the edge to Buffalo. It's at home. You know, their fans are going to be rocking here. I do think they're the better team. But one thing to watch for tonight, by the way, windy tonight in Buffalo. So maybe the passing game is a little bit of a problem. But I think it's also a benefit to Buffalo because Josh Allen still has the gun to get through that, to get through the wind here. Plus, he can run as well here. I like Buffalo as well, but more of an intermediate win here. Not a blowout, maybe not so close, but Buffalo takes it home.
Well, if they win by 10 points, it's still considered a blowout based off the spread of 2.5. Could be a 3-point game, you know, for much of the way. And if Buffalo tacks on a touchdown, double digits, hey, I'll take that any day of the week. I'll just say this about Mac Jones, true road environment here on the road, divisional opponent. Obviously, we know that the Bills coming into the year had one of the most dominant defensive fronts. They've been a little inconsistent up until this point. And we talk about the heater that New England's been on. Granted, they knocked off teams like, you know, Baker in Cleveland, the Jets, Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill, minus A.J. Brown, minus Derrick Henry. So I'm not minimizing those victories. But when you look at Buffalo in this type of situation, I think you're going to get their A-plus effort. And if we're just breaking down the quarterbacks right here, as much as I love Mac Jones, this is going to be a different animal with the Buffalo defense. I don't care that White's not there. It's the front seven. Can they get pressure on Mac Jones? I think they can. He's not mobile. You know where he's going to be, and that gives the benefit to Ed Oliver and that front seven. So that's why I like the Buffalo side on the defensive side of the ball. On the flip side, you have Josh Allen. He's a mobile guy, and I like those playmakers on the perimeter. I think they challenged New England over the top. And you can make the argument that New England's defense outside Justin Herbert at that particular time when they played them, they really haven't been challenged vertically by an elite passing attack. I think tonight we'll get a gauge as to how good they really are, and that's why I'm picking the Bills here. I know it's a tough game. I know New England and Belichick in primetime. The other primetime game they covered against Tom Brady and Tampa Bay, but that was at home. This is on the road, and that's why I like Buffalo in this matchup. We'll see how it plays out. We talked about Minnesota, George, in the open and how disappointing they were. They now limp back home to face a rejuvenated Pittsburgh Steelers team, right? For much of that game early on in Heinz Field, they trailed Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, I mean, took them on basically an 8-minute drive to crack the scoring. It looked like Baltimore had the momentum, but they made second half adjustments. Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, Deontay Johnson, 8 receptions, 105, 2 receiving touchdowns, and then that defense steps up, makes a statement on the goal-to-goal situation for the 2-point conversion. Pittsburgh wins 21-19. They're catching 3 on the road against Minnesota. Minnesota's cooked after last week. You lose to a winless team. You limp back home. I have no confidence in Zimmer. Like I said, I would fire his ass right now. He doesn't deserve to be the head coach. And why would you fire him? I'll tell you why. You make a statement and you force those players to take accountability. That's why you fire his ass right now. Because as the head coach, when you lose close ball games, yeah, the coach does it to a degree. But at the end of the day, the players are making plays. You have a star quarterback or a guy that you're paying $86 million. I don't care if he threw for 360. You find a way to gut that victory out. And at the end of the day, it was the defensive side of the ball that allowed a mediocre offense to score 29 points. Look at the production for Detroit over the last 5 weeks.
Okay. Didn't realize you were ending there. As far as the game on the Pittsburgh game, the biggest question in that game is, did Harbaugh make the right decision? Yeah, at the end of the game, they scored the touchdown, make it 20-19. Could have kicked the extra point with Tucker, obviously. And you go to overtime, he went for 2. And I thought it was a curious call here. I'm not against going for 2 in that situation. I just don't know if I would have done it in this kind of game. What were you worried about? I do it in a shootout game. You know, you're playing Kansas City or Tampa Bay. And it's one of those 41-40 games. all right, go for two. Because you don't want to lose on the coin toss, where you're worried, okay, we're going to lose the coin toss. Tampa is going to go right down the field and score a touchdown. The game's over. So let's go to try to win it now. You know, plus, we're scoring at will in this game. I'm fine in that. I'm fine if you think you have a great play call. Oh, I love this play. This is an automatic. We're going to get this. You know, I'm fine with that. In that game yesterday, I'm just not so sure you had any of that. All right? Do you really need to, against Pittsburgh, a game that was more of a slugfest, you know, as far as a defensive game, than it was wide open? Do you really need to go for a two there? What were the odds of even Pittsburgh won the toss, they would go down and score a touchdown? Not good.
Well, he did come out and say he was worried about his corners, number one. And let me just rephrase. I said they lost 21-19. They lost 20-19. So he could have tied it with the extra point. I understand that. But the momentum clearly shifted in the second half with Ben Roethlisberger and that offense. I mean, they did find something that were working in terms of the offensive scheme going up against that defensive front and, more importantly, the secondary. So I don't have a problem with Harbaugh rolling the dice. I wish more coaches honestly did that. I mean, if you believe in your offense and you believe you have the better quarterback, why are you looking to play it out in overtime? I just don't understand. We're talking about to get 2 yards with one of the most lethal quarterbacks in the game, a dual threat. So why wouldn't you give your offense an opportunity, especially on the road? I could see if you're at home with the home crowd, but on the road, yeah, I would go for it as well.
Well, you sort of backtracked against yourself there. You said you believe in your offense. What in that game led you to believing in the offense?
Well, because the last 2 minutes of the game, they drove down the field and scored a touchdown and had the momentum. Why would you change that?
So then by your argument, everybody should go for two in that situation because
if you're on the road and you're one of the top teams in the AFC, of course. Why? Why lay up? Why would you lay up on the road?
You're not laying up.
You're kicking the extra point.
Did you win the game?
George, at the end of the day, you go to win the game. I mean, that's what football is.
Well, you're going to lose the game by not doing that.
Well, we differ on this.
You can't just say automatically, go for it. That's idiotic. Doesn't make any sense.
Why they go for it on fourth downs. Analytics say go for it all the time. Now we're going to backtrack on that. I don't know. At the end of the day, be aggressive. You're getting paid millions of dollars. When we come back, we'll recap NFL Week 13.
Sometimes winning just comes down to it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It has come to our attention that some of you are guilty of superstition. Dude, trust us. Winning after an XL pepperoni pie before every game is just a coincidence. Take a breath. And maybe a diabetes test. We're your home for the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Discussing the game last night in Heinz Field, where Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers did win over the Baltimore Ravens 20-19. George and I are in disagreement about why Harbaugh went for two. And George, what I was saying was, we talked about the inconsistency. Then you drive the length of the field, you get the touchdown within the last few seconds, you have momentum. We're not talking about executing an 80-yard drive in overtime or even a 50-yard drive to kick a potentially game-winning field goal. We're talking about one play for 2 yards where Mark Andrews was wide open, a better throw, you get it done. I have no problem with that call, but you would rather him lay up and then try to have a consistent drive, something that he didn't do all game long.
In that game, yes. You know, like I said, once again, you talk about a play that he hadn't made all game. Lamar Jackson was awful yesterday. He was bad. He made bad decisions all game. His accuracy was awful all game. I play for a tie. I easily play for a tie here. Once again, you hope for two things. One, you get the football and you go on another long drive here, which he seemed to be better on longer passes, by the way, than shorter ones. And he wasn't running yesterday. Now, I imagine that's because of Pittsburgh, that they were taking that away from him. They were just spying him well. I was surprised on that last play that wasn't some kind of rollout where he had a choice of running or a pass. Now, I think with Lamar Jackson, I'm always doing that. I always want to give him the option, even a triple option if I can. But you're relying on one pass And it came through. He made a bad pass. Now, he was pressured, which you're always going to be in that situation anyway. He was pressured. He had to throw a little bit, what, three-quarter arm pass there, and it was off target again. And maybe if Andrews keeps running, it would be, it wouldn't have been a bad pass. He sort of stopped, or he stopped his momentum a little bit. Either way, the play didn't work. And in my mind, if you're going to go for it in that situation, you either have to have a knockout play that you know, and a lot of teams, some teams do. They have a great play, you know, maybe the Philly special, whatever silly thing you're going to do, and you know it's going to work fine. That wasn't it. That wasn't it. Lamar Jackson had not been consistent throughout the entire game to bank on a 50-50 play. No, I'm not doing that. Not doing that okay. In that situation. Not when my defense should be able to stop Pittsburgh. The only thing I'll give Harbaugh here, you brought up that he said his cornerbacks weren't playing well. He's right about that. Pittsburgh might have scored more points if their receivers didn't drop a couple of passes there. I'll give that, but I got to put faith in my defense here and faith that if we even if we get the ball, that we can march down the field again. I'll always take my chance with Lamar Jackson on one drive that he gets open in the run game. Then all of a sudden, he's running down the field here. I'm not going to put it on a 50-50 play if it was even 50-50.
I'll tell you what, I disagree. Wide open, better throw, he gets there. I understand the throw wasn't executed, but we're talking one play to seal the game, to get 2 yards with one of the most athletic quarterbacks. And to your point, he wasn't consistent all game. So then you're going to bank on the tie and then him driving the length of the field when he's been basically inconsistent all day. I think he made the right call. So we can agree to disagree on that one. We'll turn our attention to both Las Vegas and Kansas City. Both teams square off this weekend in Arrowhead. You look at this ball game. Kansas City did step up as an 8.5-point favorite over Vic Fangio and Teddy Bridgewater. Terrible for performance by Teddy B. Did allow a pick six to Sorensen. They win that ball game by double digits. On the flip side, you had the Raiders. They were in that ball game from start to finish, but lose a very close matchup to Taylor Heineke and the Washington football team. They're catching 8.5 points in this ball game. George, on the road, -106 on FanDuel. Total set at 51, -110 either way. They played KC very tough last year. I think they'll be up into this game. Coming off a home loss, give me Las Vegas plus the points.
You realize now in the past 5 weeks, the Raiders are, they've beaten one team, the Cowboys. They're not playing well. They look like a bad team again. They're a heck the team, and you can't lose to Washington. When you're in a playoff battle here, you're in a divisional battle here, right, to go be in first place in that division, you can't lose this game. To a team that lost Logan Thomas about three-quarters of the way through the game, that doesn't have much of an offense, and you score, 14 points? That can't happen. That just can't happen here. I don't have much faith in the Raiders. I don't know which team's going to show up week to week here. And as we get to this point of the season, sooner or later the players are I don't want to say give up, but they lose that extra momentum and they go, it's another game, season's over, that sort of thing. I guess technically the season's not over, but they got to climb over Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Cleveland, Denver. You know, and Miami's only a half game behind them. You know, they're in that quagmire of everybody else. They can't lose this game yesterday. Just can't lose this kind of game. You got to beat the teams at home that you should beat, and Washington's the team at home that you should beat. Not that they're a bad team, but you should be beating that team if you're a playoff team. You just should. At KC next week, I know what you're saying here. They play KC tough, and they have, but they lost 41-14 to Kansas City just, a month ago?
Yep.
I don't think it's going to be that. I don't know if I'm going to bet Kansas City because I'm not really sold on their offense either, but they're playing much better. They're even just playing lights out all of a sudden at Melvin Ingram trade. Might be the trade of the year in the NFL. I'm not betting the Raiders. I'm not saying I'm going to bet Kansas City, but I'm not betting the Raiders.
Since that Raider game on that Sunday night where I believe they won that, 41-17, or it was a beatdown in Las Vegas, they haven't allowed a fourth quarter score since that game. Since that middle of that game in the third quarter or fourth quarter, they haven't allowed a second half touchdown going forward. So think about, Dallas they played. They played Denver. They were moving the ball through the 30s. Once they got inside the 20, they couldn't do anything. Were held to field goals. Vic Fangio runs it on 4th-and-2. Great play, Vic. Perfect. That's a great one-dimensional play. Wow. Mind of a genius, Vic Fangio. Let's play for field goals instead of touchdowns. But this team is bouncing back into form. It's not just Patrick Mahomes. They're +650 right now, George, to win the Super Bowl on FanDuel right behind Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You feel confident about that from what you've seen in terms of that game from Las Vegas a few weeks ago till now?
I don't know if you can feel confident about anybody in any team. This is a one-week league again. And it's any certain week. If you ask me right now the whom I'm picking for the Super Bowl from the AFC, I think it is KC Buffalo that comes down to. And I'll take the home team that's whoever's playing at home in that game. So if it's Kansas City, yeah, give me the Chiefs. I just love the way their defense is playing. I just find it strange, Joe, where if you would have told me in week 13 that I'd be more impressed with the Chiefs' defense and not their offense, I would have thought you were smoking the good stuff. So that's my only issue. But I love that because the defense keeps playing that well. I know the offense will be better. So, yeah, give me the Chiefs.
You know, it reminds me a little of Tampa Bay last year, where that defense was starting to come into form at the second half of the year. And obviously in the playoffs, they took the rushing attack over with Leonard Fournette just really carrying the rock. Could be the same type of situation with Andy Reid in this offense right now. They understand what they did wrong last year and not winning the Super Bowl. He's starting to build this team basically on the defensive side of the ball. Pat Mahomes doesn't have to do everything to outscore teams. That might be the recipe for this team to win it all this year. So I'd say at plus 650, yeah, they're worth the shot. I agree with you. I still think Buffalo is the class of the AFC when push comes to shove, but we'll see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks. Another battle takes place in East Rutherford. Yeah, the New York Jets, they lost in dominating fashion to Gardner Minshew and Philadelphia, filling in for Jalen Hurts. The line opened up at Philly minus 7. When Hurts didn't play, they got it down to about 5, 4.5 in some books, 33-18. Philly runs away with that. Gardner Minshew with a dominating performance, 242 through the air, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Zach Wilson, an interception in that matchup. But that defense for New York had no answers for the Eagles' wideouts, Dallas Goedert, tight end. They now get to face New Orleans, and they're 6-point dogs to the Saints. Saints do have a couple extra days of preparation off the home loss to your Dallas Cowboys on Thursday night. Man, I'm not sold on New Orleans, but I'll tell you this. Laying 6 on the road, they're going to have to find a way to grind it out. I do not like Zach Wilson going up against this defense. Is New Orleans motivated? That will be the only question. They're on the outside looking in for a wild card, but I have to lay it with the Saints in this ballgame.
I think I'm going to wait to see who the quarterback's going to be in this game. You know, we know Hill's got the banged-up finger as well. What is the new term we're hearing this year? The mallet finger, right? That seems to be going around here. It's what Russell Wilson has. Hill's got it. It's not as severe as Wilson. Wilson also had something else there. Not as severe there. Because, sorry about that. His throwing was bad versus the Cowboys, right? Through 4 interceptions, could have thrown 4 others. But he was running. It was fantastic. And the guy is a beast to bring down. So, but when you can't throw the football, you can't play quarterback here. So we'll see how the week goes on here as far as that's concerned. I'll take the Jets and the points, by the way. New Orleans just isn't that good. Right, they're going to have trouble scoring points here. Jets, they're playing a little bit better, right? That game was entertaining yesterday in the first half. But only the Jets, Joe. Only the Jets could get a new kicker, and the first thing he does is miss back-to-back extra points. I mean, that's just pure Jets for you. Give me the points on the Jets.
You're going to take the Jets? Seriously? I know they're at home, and I know there were glimpses. But I watched that game yesterday. Zach Wilson had 108 passing yards at the half. For like a quarter and a half, he still was stuck at 108. And I was like, is he playing at this point? Like, what's going on? And then he finally, in mop-up duty, got about another 80 yards in the last 7 minutes of the ballgame. Had multiple attempts inside the Philly 40-yard line. Couldn't convert. They went backwards. Penalties. Same old Jets. I mean, I understand what you're saying. It seems fishy. And there is no consistency of New Orleans right now. But at the end of the day, they still have a more physical offense and defensive lines. That defense alone, I think, will force at least two interceptions against Zach Wilson in that offense. That's why I like the Saints. More importantly, can you see this game going over the 43.5 that FanDuel assessed on this game?
No. No, I think it'll be a lower scoring game. Plus, there could be some weather here in New York. So give me the under there as well.
Yeah, we'll see how that game plays out. 1 o'clock kick in MetLife Stadium. When we come back, we'll be talking about Jacksonville and Tennessee. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Recapping week number 13, turning the page to also this weekend's action. We left off with the New Orleans Saints and the New York Jets. Now turn our attention to Nashville. Tennessee, coming off a bye week, has a big battle with Urban Meyer. That team is garbage. They got absolutely abused by Matt Stafford and the LA Rams, catching 13, got blown out 37-7. Trevor Lawrence, a pedestrian, 145 passing yards in that performance. He's regressed. He sucks right now, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he needs to step it up along with Urban Meyer. They're catching double digits again, back-to-back road games in Nashville here. Titans coming off the bye, minus 110 on FanDuel. Total set at 44.5. Last time they played in Jacksonville, Tennessee was about a 4.5-point favorite. They won and covered going away. Now laying 10, there is no margin of error. If you're Ryan Tannehill and that offense, you're coming off a 93-yard passing performance. I have no credit or no confidence in Urban Meyer right here, right now. Give me Tennessee, and I'm going to take the over. I do feel that this game sails through the 44 and a hook, Georgie boy.
Does Urban Meyer come back next year? That's my first question for her. Is he back with the Jaguars? Mm. Urban Meyer back
I don't know.
With the Jaguars?
I thought, you know what? If Notre Dame's job was potentially still open, I would say maybe, even though they didn't want him. You know, because of his affinity with the program and how much he loves it. He did turn it down, though, a while ago. There's a lot of huge programs that were out there looking for coaches, but now they've solidified those. Can't see him going back to college at this point. I think he is there, but I haven't seen any progress from this team right now, from the start of the year to what we see now. The defense showed some signs, but right now they're a dead football team.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree on both points, by the way. I think he will be back next year, but I think it's a college offense. They're running college combinations that just don't make sense in the NFL. Like, he hasn't even tried yet. Just weird. Like, he just started to throw things out there with his name and blah, 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 and everything's going to work out fine. No, it's not the way it's working here. It's just not at all. It's been very disappointing. I'm not a big I don't care about college coaches to the NFL. I really don't. Most of them fail. Yeah, it's hard to make that transition here, but I thought he would. Yeah, the bigger names, you think he would do some damage here. He's not doing anything here. But once again, as far as this game is concerned here, who's healthy for Tennessee? You know, A.J. Brown won't be there. I doubt Julio Jones is there. We know Derrick Henry certainly won't be there. So it's tough for me to bank on this team. They're the better team here, and they have to win some games here. Right now, they're still winning that division, but Indianapolis is not going away. They're playing good football. They're coming after you. Granted, they're still a couple of games behind. You won both games, so it would take a massive collapse here. But at this point, I don't know if I'd be shocked if it happens. You know, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, San Fran, Miami, Houston. It shouldn't. You play enough weaker teams here, but you should win games here. I think this will be a closer game. I do. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like we saw yesterday. I don't see that. But I have no faith. I won't be touching this game. That's what I'm trying to say. I won't be touching this game, and I lean towards the under, not the over.
All right, here's a game I think you will be touching because it is a pretty interesting battle. It's a rematch of the 1984 Super Bowl with you. The Cincinnati Bengals taking on Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. What a day for Jimmy Graps. 299 through the air yesterday. George Kittle with a huge performance. 181 receiving, two touchdowns, yet they still lost on the road to Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, laying 3.5, 30-23. They were in contention to score the game-tying touchdown, couldn't convert. Now they're laying a measly 1 to Joe Burrow and the crew that basically got abused by Justin Herbert and L.A. They started slow, trailed 24-0, made it a game, cut the deficit, but then lose going away 41-22. I think this is a bounce-back spot for Cincinnati. I think they have the more complete offense. I'm not a buyer of Shanahan and San Francisco here. Back-to-back road games, they lose a tough divisional game. Now you face an AFC opponent. I'm going to lay the measly 1 with Cincinnati in this ballgame.
A couple of things here. One, I agree with you, by the way. I'm going with Cincinnati as well. Assuming, once again, Burrow also got beat up yesterday. That finger of his, which looked ugly, by the way, that pinky finger. But I think we heard a couple of pro quarterbacks say you can throw without a pinky, or even if your pinky's damaged, you'll be okay. So, and he certainly was fine during the game here, but I want to make sure we see him during practice during the week, which I assume we will. Cincinnati did get beat up during this game. They had a couple of other injuries along their line, so we got to keep an eye on that. Big fumble by Mixon on Sunday. Big fumble turned that game. They were possibly coming down for the go-ahead score there, and he fumbled, returned for a touchdown, and it's all over with the crying here. It was not the 84 Super Bowl. It was the 82 Super Bowl. Let me tell you why, right? I know this.
Kenny Anderson.
I know this. No, nothing to do with Cincinnati. Nothing to do with Cincinnati. What happened in the NFC Championship game that year?
Yeah, Dallas.
Yeah, that was the catch. Danny, all right, the only game I cried about. The only game I've ever cried. I was 12 years old. All right, seeing that catch. And by the way, it wasn't the catch. Everybody thinks the catch won that game. It didn't. Dallas got the ball back. The first play, they got the ball back, about 57 seconds left. Pass over the middle of Drew Pearson. He's gone. Gets tackled by a shoestring. That's the first thing. But they still have the ball at about the 50. And there's plenty of time left. Danny White fumbles the snap. The center exchange was fumbled. San Fran recovered. That was the game. Not so much the catch day. It's that fumble. So, yeah, that was upsetting to a 12-year-old, Mr. Lisi. Very upsetting to me there. And that was the first of, three straight championship game losses for the Cowboys. They lost both to Philadelphia and Washington. Wow. Actually, I think they lost to Philadelphia first.
Your pain.
Upset me.
I feel your pain. I do, because I did. I broke a tear watching that game in terms of Miami with Kellen Winslow and the San Diego Chargers with Ralph
Best
Benerska.
Game ever.
At 12 years old, I wanted to punch Ralph Benerska in the face with the one bar in terms of that situation with Tony Nathan and the hook and ladder. So I feel your pain, George. Now, here's the bigger question. In this ball game with San Francisco, right? Everybody loves San Francisco at the start of the year. Remember 10.5 win total? This was the team that, you know, with the injuries last year sustained, that when healthy, this was the team to beat in the West. They haven't lived up to expectations. They have no offensive identity from week to week. And Jimmy Garoppolo, solely, he has two targets. He has George Kittle and he has Debo Samuel. When Samuel was out, he zones in on George Kittle, forgets about Ayuk until about the fourth quarter. No other receiver is that, on his radar. He only zeroes in on one guy. I could see if he was Aaron Rodgers. But at the end of the day, that's one of the reasons why they lost. That defense gives up a ton of points. So, bigger question, are they a playoff caliber team right here, right now, or are they just walking through the motions?
Well, everything you said is true. Everything you said. They'll get Debo back, and not this week, maybe next week. Right? I don't think they're going to get Debo back this week. Right now, they're in a playoff spot. You know, so what Parcells says, you know, your record is what you say. You are what your record says you are, which right now says they're a playoff team. Granted, they're a half game ahead of Philadelphia, game and a half ahead of Minnesota. Things are certainly going to change here. If they lose this game, which you and I think they're going to do, then they may not be a playoff team next week. It's a weird team. All right, I don't trust Jimmy G, and I think it's a quarterback league. With that one, you don't have it. Love what they do with the running game. I swear to God, you and I could be putting that running offense, and we'd gain yardage there. Might be dead afterwards, but we'd gain yardage there. What you said about locking in on George Kittle is 100% correct, because he has no one else he trusts or no one else he can throw to. So it's hard to trust this team. This is why I like Cincinnati in this game. Their secondary is not good. Russell Wilson beat yesterday. He's been horrible of late here. Chase, Higgins, Boyd, I think they all eat in this game. Yeah, give me the Bengals. I don't think they're a playoff team either.
Well, let me take it a step further. On FanDuel for the NFC Championship, they have San Fran right behind your Dallas Cowboys. A huge discrepancy, though. Dallas to win the NFC Championship, 5.5-1 at plus 550. San Fran at 25-1, followed by Minnesota at 44-1, the Eagles at 44-1, and the Washington football team at 55-1. They're at least playing well and more consistent than San Francisco right now. At least they're 500, and that offense has an identity with Taylor Heineke.
Yeah, they're not going to get that far. I think they'd be one and done. Who are they going to? I mean, San Fran does get in. Obviously, they're not winning a division. Are they going to beat Green Bay? Are they going to beat Tampa? You know, I'll give them a shot against the Cowboys. You know, Dallas always fails in big moments, so it wouldn't certainly wouldn't surprise me. But I don't know if this team's going to beat anybody on the road. And all those teams we mentioned, we know can score points and attack your secondary. And I don't think San Fran can stop that. I just don't think they're going to match up points with these guys. No, I don't see it happening. So even if they get in, I think they're one and done. But I'm going to say they don't get in. I'm still banking on Philadelphia, man. I still think Philadelphia gets in. I don't care who the quarterback is. Easy schedule. No, I think Philadelphia takes care of business. They get in.
Okay, we'll see how that plays out. Let me ask you this. Gardner Minshew starts lighting it up, whether he plays over the next game or so. If he, in fact, does get in and lead this team to victory, if you're Sirianni, do you keep the hot hand in terms of Gardner Minshew, or this is Jalen Hurts' team to lose?
Well, it depends what really – does he have the choice here? And what I mean by that is they have a bye week this week, Philly. So Hurts will be back, or be able to be back by the 19th when they play again. Now, that being said, Sirianni came out at yesterday's game and said Hurts is our quarterback. No, you know, flat out said it. So I assume he's going to Hurts here. And I don't think he has a choice here, because I think upper management needs to know, is Hurts the guy? And we don't know yet. We just don't know, which means they don't know, because you're not going to really tell in four games. Oh, that they'll be pressure-packed games. They play Washington twice. Giants, who knows what the Giants will have there. And they play Dallas last game of the season. And odds are those will be for a playoff spot. You know, they'll be playing for a playoff spot. They went out. They'll make the playoffs. They'll have 10 wins. They'll make the playoffs. So these are going to be pressure-charged games. And if Hurts plays well, then they know they got their quarterback. So I think they're going with Hurts. Joe, if you would ask me who I think gives them a better chance to win, I'd probably say Minshew. But I don't think winning is the most important thing here. They got to determine about Hurts. Do they need a quarterback next year? They have to know.
They do. A coach that needs answers is Matt Nagy. I mean, catching 7.5 to Arizona yesterday, they get abused at home. Andy Dalton, turnover machine, 4 interceptions against that Cardinals secondary. They're catching 12.5 on the road to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay in Lambeau. Oh, they never step up in Green Bay. Last regular season game last year, they got abused. They lost by double digits. However, catching 12.5 in prime time, I might be inclined to jump on the Matt Nagy train in the spot.
I can't, because right now they have injuries to both quarterbacks. I don't know what's going on there. He came out today and said, Fields is a pain tolerance issue. You know, whenever I hear this, by the way, I kind of wonder, is he saying that this guy's weak? You know, that he's not able to play through pain, that sort of thing. You know, I just found that wording strange, that it's a pain tolerance issue. So what he's saying is he could play if he can deal with the pain, which means, you know, he's not tough, whatever you want to look at it there. So I just find it strange. Dalton has an injury to his non-throwing hand, which means he should play, but you're still going to be able to take snaps. You know, so we'll see there. Who's going to be healthy for Chicago, right? Is Robinson going to be back here? It's hard to trust this team. Green Bay, Rodgers in the toe. He didn't have surgery. We thought he might have it during the other break, but he probably would have missed a game or two. They still would have been able to make the playoffs, but would have lost any chance of getting the number one seed if he would have done that. So a lot of interesting little parts here. I kind of agree with you. Prime time, the weather could be rough here. Can they keep it somewhat? I think, listen, Green Bay wins the game easy. They know they're going to win, but can Chicago keep it to 12.5? I think we're likely to need a late score from the Bears to do that, but I sort of lean your way here, but I hate betting the Bears.
Any shot Nagy makes it through this season and coaches in 2022 with this team? I think he's dead man walking after last week's loss.
Agreed. I think, once again, there'll be a couple of new coaches in that division, right? We think Zimmer's going to be gone. Nagy's going to be gone as well.
Yeah, chopped. Zimmer and Nagy, get out of here. You don't deserve to be the coach the rest of the year. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, George and I got into a heated discussion about John Harbaugh and the two-point conversion yesterday in Heinz Field. Baltimore goes on the road to face Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Teams played a couple weeks ago. Remember, Cleveland did lose 16-10. They were a 3.5-point road underdog in that ballgame. Now they're two-point favorites. I can only look to the Baltimore Ravens here, catching 2 points. I like Lamar. I like this team to step up. Even though they have some defensive injuries, I'll take my chances with a more consistent quarterback in this battle.
Agreed. Lamar did not look good yesterday. I mean, he was bad. Anyway, look, he was bad. Had a bad game. That man, that first interception he threw, what were you doing? And I know this is always a weird question. I can't remember another year we've seen so many bad interceptions by good quarterbacks. Right? It was like, what was going through your head there? But Cleveland, once again, how healthy are they? We know they can't get out of their own way. They're going to have an interesting choice, Joe, during the offseason. Is Baker the guy? I mean, once again, have we ever seen so many family members of a player come out against the quarterback? I mean, Kareem Hunt, Odell Beckham, it's going to be kind of humorous, right? So weird what's going on in Cleveland. I don't know if Baker Mayfield's back next year.
Yes or no, Cleveland makes the playoffs, plus 245 to the yes, minus 320 to the no on FanDuel.
They play no, I'm not going to go. No, I'll definitely take the no here. I don't see a way Cleveland gets in. They're not playing well, right? Their passing game's a wreck. We know the run game's good, but the schedule tells me no. Baltimore, Vegas, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. What, does it shock you if they go 1-4 here? No, they don't get it.
On the flip side, my Miami Dolphins 6-7. They were 36-1 5 games ago. Now plus 1020 to make the playoffs, minus 1800 to the no, Georgie boy.
Jets, New Orleans, Tennessee, New England. Not easy, but not impossible. I don't think they get in, but they'll. I think week 18 will determine it.
For George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll be here all week. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
We are your official source for gaming, odds, and more.
Except no substitutes.
They won't be around long anyway. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.